Morning is going to come from Mark chapter 8, verse 15 through 19. "Be very careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "Is it because we have no bread?" Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear, and do not remember?"
Did you ever go out into a parking lot, go up to your car or your pickup, and can't figure out why the key doesn't work? Then realize you're not at your truck, you're at another one. You ever see up here after service a little kid come up and start hugging the wrong leg? You know, we can see things and not see them. Well, I can go out in a pasture and I can see grass and weeds. But Steve Holtz can tell you what kind of weed there is and what kind of plant and whether it's supposed to be there or not. He even told me one time a weed is a plant that's out of place. I even saw him one day looking at a little flower and he said, "You know, this is way out of its territory. This is rare right here." Now, if you'd asked me if I'd seen it, I had actually saw it, but I hadn't taken notice of it or even knew what I was looking at. We went to Cuba a while back, and they have a lot of old cars there. Matter of fact, they don't have any U.S. cars that were made after 1958. But they have a lot of old ones. Most of what I saw was old cars, red ones and blue ones and yellow ones. But there were a few guys there that were car people, and they could tell you every one. "That is a 48 DeSoto," they would say, or something like that. I saw it, but I didn't really see it. Jesus prayed in the garden that he wanted his people to see his glory. He's praying that God would open our eyes so that we could see what's really going on. We just sang some wonderful songs about how glorious Christ is. And we all know it, but it would be hard to say that I actually have seen everything that's right before my eyes. Jesus tells these disciples, and this is an old quote from the Old Testament that is repeated over and over again in the Scriptures, that says, "You have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, but you don't hear." I would like for us to make a goal in the next few weeks to learn to see like God wants us to see, to learn to perceive what we're actually looking at. A great example of this is in the Gospel of Mark. And Mark tells the story of this very thing in his Gospel account when he's describing for us, this being Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. He's describing for us the picture of the man that was healed of being blind. He'd been blind since he was born. And he has seen this very thing here. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong passage here. This is in the Gospel of John chapter 9. Excuse me. That's what I was planning on doing, the Mark one, but you'll hear it another time. John chapter 9, this is the man who was born blind. It's a long passage. We're not going to be able to read it all, but if you will open your Bible to chapter 9, you can see the different ways that people were blind and the one guy that could see when it was over with. Verse 1 tells us this man was blind from birth. He'd never seen his mother's face. He'd never seen a flower. He'd never seen a bird. He had never seen the sunlight. He was blind from birth. The disciples in verse 2 tell us that they tell Jesus, they ask him, who sinned, this man or his parents? There was a common thought in those days and in these days that good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. We believe it because we say it all the time. We say things like, I must be living right if something good happens to us. Or we might say if something bad happens, we might say, what did I ever do to deserve this? You know? Well, that's what they thought. And they said, obviously, a person that's born blind in a world where it's hard enough to make a living, it's hard enough to live when you have all of your faculties, and this man is starting off way behind the game, he must be a sinner, or at least his parents must be sinners. And Jesus tells them that that's not what this is about at all. And he's telling them there's a kind of blindness that comes from our ignorance and from our assumption of other things so that we don't even look at what we're seeing. The disciples are looking at an opportunity where the glory of God is going to be displayed, where the power of Jesus is going to be seen, and where a marvelous miracle is about to happen, and a great lesson is about to be taught, and they're still playing the little word games that they played before. Some people are blind because we don't think, because what we're looking at is not what we think it is, like the wrong pickup. He said, you don't know what you think you know, and so you're blind to this whole event here that's going to happen without you paying attention to it. In verse 6 through 8, we see him perform a great miracle. He makes clay, puts it on the guy's eyes, tells him to go wash, and when he does, he can see. He came back, verse 7, seeing. And then we see some other people that are blind. The first group are blind because they're distracted. They say, is this the man who was blind? And they say, since they've never seen anything like this, they're distracted into all the other possible conclusions here. And one of them is, well, he looks like him, but he couldn't be him because this man can see, and the man that we know can't see. And so they're distracted by this, and so they dismiss this miracle and give it a simpler solution. Like when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water and they decided it must be a ghost because men can't walk on the water. When the man says, I am the man, we go back to the miracle and we see other distractions that take place. The Pharisees enter in verse 13, and they already have an agenda worked out, and they're not accepting the most logical thing, that a miracle has happened here. And they make note it's a Sabbath day, and they move down a completely different path. Not about whether Jesus performed a miracle, whether the man was blind, but we're going to build a case for ourselves. In verse 16, we see they ask the man, How did you restore your sight? How did he do this? What did he do? And they ask the blind man. And the blind man says that Jesus was a man and that he had told him this and that, and told him he made the clay, put it on his eyes, and had him, and he could see then. They bring it up again and they ask him, who is Jesus? And at that point, the man has said he's a prophet. We're seeing something happen with him. At the same time, we're seeing something happen with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are defending the position they have at all cost, whatever they've got to do. And the blind man, or former blind man, is moving to a position of faith. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. But he has seen some things, and he's using those things that he now knows to develop this area of faith that he has. And so we see this taking place here. Verse 17, they ask the blind man, who is Jesus? He tells them he's a prophet. They call his parents in, and his parents all of a sudden become blind, not physically, but as far as following through with this argument. And we find another reason that sometimes we don't see, and that's because we're afraid. We don't want to see what there is to see. That would be like in some movies, you might put your hands over your eyes because you don't want to see that snake come out of somebody's ear or whatever else it's going to be, the big scary part of it or the offensive part or whatever. Instead of eyes, ears, when they heard Stephen's sermon, they put their hands over their ears. They're not going to hear it. One of our lessons in the future, we'll be talking about the blinders that people put on so that they won't see what's there before them. These parents have a problem, and that is they're afraid. They're afraid because the consequences of seeing what they're seeing will get them kicked out of the synagogue. Because they've learned this, and so they ask, when the questions are asked, they ask, answer very carefully. Verse 18, they said, he's not really blind. The parents said, yes, he is. He is our son. And the one that you say was blind, they said, he is our son, and he was blind. Then how does he now see? And here's where their blindness comes in. He says, he is our son. He was blind. Verse 21, they say, we don't know who healed him. The reason is they're afraid of the Jews, it says. So they'd be put out of the synagogue, so ask him. They go the second time to this man, and they ask him, we know that Jesus is a sinner, and so I want you to tell this story again with this new parameter that we're put up, or this new blinders that we put there, or a new path that we're calling you to go on. This poor man, who before was just a blind beggar, and now he's becoming a preacher, he says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I do know that I was blind, and now I see. And they said, well, what did he do to make you see? And he said, I've already told you this, and you're not listening to me. Verse 26, are you becoming a disciple? See how he's working against their argument. When they heard this, they didn't hear everything else he was saying, but they heard this. And they said, we are Moses' disciples. We don't know about this man. And he says, this is interesting because this is verse 32, he gives sight to blind people. And this has never happened before. We've never heard of a man born blind getting his sight back. And this man just did it. You would think you would be interested in that. Later, we will see him tell Jesus himself, I believe, and he worships him. He goes from not knowing who he is, to knowing he's a man, to knowing he's a prophet, to knowing he's the Messiah. And Jesus tells him, I came for this very reason, that those, verse 39, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. In verse 40, the Pharisees say, so you're saying that we're blind. That's exactly what he was saying. He came that we might see. Some don't see because they're confused. They've heard things and they actually believe them that aren't true. And so everything goes through that pattern. Others don't see because they don't want to see. They refuse to see. Some are distracted. We see other things, but we don't see what we ought to be focused on. Some are afraid. And some keep learning and come into focus. Jesus called us to see. The apostles, especially in the book of 2 Corinthians, talks a lot about viewing God with unfettered faces, with our veils taken off so that we can look at him. We see the great people of God all through the scriptures doing this very thing. We see Moses begging God, show me your glory. And he wants all that God will give him. We see this happen over and over again. Sometimes when we look the way God wants us to look at what God wants us to look at and actually perceive what he wants us to learn, it's difficult. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's even painful because it brings us to a point of knowing that we need to repent, or it brings us to a point of knowing that our life won't be the same. I remember a man that was having a Bible study with some people in this congregation, and he said, "I understand everything you're telling me, but if I do what you're telling me that the Bible says, I will have to change my whole life." He saw. He's not any longer a part of us, but he saw what we, there's barriers to being able to see like God wants us to see. There's also great benefits. I propose next year is 2020. I propose that we figure out some way, by following the instructions of God here, that we will maybe for the first time have 2020 vision of God's Word, God's people, the church. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians tells us things like that. He tells us things like, we don't look at Christ the way we used to look at Him. We don't look at other people the way we used to look at Him. We don't look at the Word of God the way we used to look at it. Wouldn't that be something? Just like in the parking lot with the wrong truck, sometimes we read through the Bible over and over again and never see something. Never see a commandment. Never make note of a promise because we're familiar with it. Sometimes we deliberately avoid those things because we know it'll be painful. I'll have to change my life, or it might be costly for me. Sometimes we get distracted. There's so much going on, so many distractions, so many things. Sometimes we've already made up our mind, this is what we're, and that's all we're looking for. You know, in West Texas, we have two birds. We have a lot of birds, but two birds everybody knows, buzzards and hummingbirds. They fly all over the country looking for something, and they find what they're looking for. One's looking for something dead, the other's looking for a flower, and they always find it. We see what we're looking for. We perceive what we want to find. You know that's true. I used to hunt arrowheads with a guy that would take delight in walking right behind me and picking up the arrowheads that I'd stepped over. He said, "Did you even look?" Of course I looked. I looked at every square inch of that, but I wasn't looking for what I should have been looking for. I wasn't paying attention. You might know I'm easily distracted. Maybe it doesn't matter if I ever find another arrowhead. Maybe it doesn't matter if I know the names of weeds and grass. Maybe it doesn't do anything but give everybody a lot of pleasure to see me trying to get into the wrong car. But when it comes to the glory of God, when it comes to His Word, when it comes to our promises, when it comes to our holiness, it matters. Maybe you know right now what's keeping you from seeing like God wants you to see. Maybe you're reluctant to take off the blindfold. Maybe you're reluctant to say that's exactly right. One guy went home that day seeing for the first time. And fellows who maybe at one time could see go home that day blind. When the Pharisee said, "Are you saying we're blind?" That's exactly what he was saying. One guy was kind of pitiful that he sat there and couldn't see. His whole life was confined by that malady that he had. But the tragedy were those people who were blind because they refused to look at what was right before them. That should stop with us. All of us could see better. All of us could be more focused. All of us could make a point to perceive what we're looking at, all of us could have 20/20 vision in spiritual matters. Wouldn't that be something? Isn't that a resolution that's worth making? Isn't that a promise that's worth doing? We're going to look at the things that hold us back, and we're also going to look at how we can develop better vision. But the first thing we need to do is decide, like Jesus told the disciples, quit talking about bread. You know what I'm talking about here. We can decide we're going to get serious about it. If there's sin in your life, that's the first thing you got to do so the blinders could be off, so you could see the glory of God. Jesus prayed for it. He wants you to have a glorious vision of God. I don't mean angels and lights and all of that. I'm talking about being able to see clearly, to be able to see clearly who you are, where you are, what you are, and what's ahead for you. Don't you want that? Won't you come to Jesus while we stand and sing?